We want to be closer to him today. Amen. We praise God. Just want to give honor to God. Praise God for our worship team and musicians. This is setting the atmosphere, asking God to draw us close to him. Amen. Let me say welcome to Encounter Life Church this morning. Can we give God a hand praise this morning because he's worthy, because you're here this morning? How many of you are glad to be in the house of the Lord today? In the land of the living this morning. Amen? Amen. Bless the Lord. Again, I just want to welcome you. Can we give all of our guests a round of applause today? If you're a guest here at Encounter Life, we welcome you. We're glad that you're here today, whether you're in the building, whether you're at home. We're just glad that you came to worship with us this morning. And I trust that you encountered the presence of God. And when you encounter the presence of God, you'll discover your purpose and experience his power in your life. Amen? I'm excited this morning because, y'all, this is the first time I've been preaching since January. Amen. Can we give it up? I just want to say amen for amen. I praise God. Just get an opportunity to get a break, get your mind clear, and just to kind of just to regather and regroup. But I'm excited to be here. Y'all know it's hard for me not to be in the house of the Lord. David called me. Like David called it last Sunday if y'all were here. David said he might pop up. When he said that, I was actually putting my clothes on to come to church. I'm like, I'm a church baby. Sister Kim says I'm a church baby. I just like being in the house of the Lord. The Bible says, listen, David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen? Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. He said, listen, we ought to do it all the more as we see the day approaching. I know when the pandemic came and I couldn't go to church, I said, when the church building opened up, I'm be ready to run into church. How many of y'all said that? Some of y'all said, man, I can't wait till the pandemic over to get back in church. Pandemic over, and we couldn't get people back in church. Amen. But I'm telling you, whenever I can get a chance to be around the saints, I'm excited. So I'm just glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And I just praise God for Brother David Nutt. Amen. Who brought an amazing word last month. But last week, Brother David Julian, who brought an amazing word. Brother Al, Pastor Mac. Did Pastor Mac bring the word? Amen. Y'all, we blessed. We're blessed. We are blessed. At Encounter Life, we are blessed. I say that because I speak to pastors all the time, and it's very hard for them to be able to take a week off because they can't find somebody to fill the pulpit. They can't find somebody to fill the pulpit that they know who's going to bring the word rightly divided. It's very challenging. And I praise God that this little branch of Zion, we got four people other than the pastor who can come bring the word. And one of them is the reason why we all here in the first place. Amen. We praise, that's a blessing. Praise God. Amen. Amen. And I'm looking forward, and the whole vision, I'm looking forward that God's raising up some other ones that we don't even know who are coming behind us to be prepared to raise up that word and bring that word. Amen. So we praise God for that. But I'm excited because last week, Brother David talked about the good news. And the good news we y'all saw on the video, Easter is just 4 weeks away. We're just 4 weeks away from Easter. And y'all know that Easter is the day of the year that most folks go to church when they don't usually go to church. It's an amazing opportunity for you and I, for those of us who have friends, family, and loved ones who you've been trying to get to see it, get in the house of the Lord, to invite them. So we're going to start ramping it up, getting ready. To be able to share that good news, sharing the gospel with people, that's what God's called us to do. But sometimes it can be intimidating and it can be challenging, can be scary. Sometimes I don't know what I'm going to say. Am I going to say the right thing? But you know, one good way to share the gospel, just invite somebody to the church. Invite somebody to the place where the gospel is going to be shared. That's a great way to evangelize. And so we want to begin to get our minds geared toward that for all of us who are here who are members. And as a church, we want to be a place that are prepared when people come, a place, a station where they can come and feel welcome, feel loved unconditionally, and experience the love of God. Amen? Amen. Praise God for that. One of the things before we launch in, before I open us, matter of fact, let me just pray for us first, and then we'll get started this morning. Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be before your people again and share your word. I thank you for the truth of your word, and we praise God for the gospel is good news. In a world that is full of bad news, God, and we have it coming at us all the time, I thank you for the truth of the gospel that you love us, Lord God, and that you sent your son to die on the cross for us. And I pray, Heavenly Father, today, if there's somebody who's never heard that good news, will hear it today like never before and come and respond and receive Jesus as Savior and Lord. And for the rest of us, though, those of us who may have already responded, that you will challenge us to be bearers of the good news. We praise you, we honor you, in Jesus' name, amen. While I was out for the last 4 or 5 weeks, some things have changed. Some of y'all know, some of you guys know, some of you don't. Most of you know that I am a podiatrist, amen. And it's hard to believe that I have been a podiatrist for the last 24 years. I've been practicing podiatry for the last 24 years. It's hard to believe that. But one thing hit me, and some of you all know my heart has always been ministry. One thing hit me over those last 5 weeks that God hit me, said, Dwayne, you know what? It's time to just take a change and just be obedient and do what God's called you to do. So those of you who don't know, what I did over the 4 weeks, I actually resigned from my position at Unity Healthcare as podiatrist. So I could step out in faith and be here to lead Encounter Life Church. So y'all pray for me and my family, because we took a step of faith and said, as of May 1st, I will no longer be a practicing podiatrist here in this area. That's frightening to do, amen? But we trust God is going to provide for us. And over the last 24 years, one of the things that I know, as a physician, Pastor Mack is a dentist. I know Dr. Hutchinson is here as a cardiologist. She was here last month talking to us. One of the things I know, all the years that I've practiced, whether I've been in private practice, whether I've been a part of another, whether working at the VA, whether I was at Unity Healthcare, wherever I was working, one of the things that I've always learned about practicing, that though I may be the doctor who's gotten the training, that I cannot do what I do without the people out front. That's one of the things that I've learned. I cannot tell you how many times people may have come to my office when I was in private practice, come to the clinic where I work, say, Dr. McKinney, you might be nice, and you might be nice and all that, but I cannot take that lady at the front desk. Anybody ever have an experience about that? The doctor's good. Doc, you might be good and all that, but that lady out front, she was nasty, and she just got, so there's some people who will come back and tell you, but there are others who may never come back and tell you. In fact, they came one time, and they were so turned off about the people out front, you didn't find out later that, listen, Doc, I had to go find a new doctor because your staff was just too rude. Or because the person out front, they just too ghetto. I just can't take it. I cannot. The wait was too long. There was just too many issues out front before I could get to you. Before they can even get to the one who was helping bring healing, they were so turned off by the people out front. They had to go find somewhere else to go. And as David was talking last week about the good news, that the gospel is good news, and there's so many people who don't get a chance to hear good news. And as I was thinking about it this week, as we prepare for Easter and inviting people to church, could it possibly be that some people aren't rejecting the good news as much as they're rejecting the people out front? Sometimes we, the people out front, the ones in the waiting room, the ones who are responsible for bringing him to the Savior, we can turn some folks off. So over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about being what? Good news people. Because what I've come to learn is a lot of times what the church, what we're communicating is not the good news. Maybe it's the news that we see on TV. Maybe it's a political agenda. Maybe it's a social agenda. Maybe it's just some other rules and regulations that don't have nothing to do with the Bible. But it ain't the good news. This Friday, my dad and I had an opportunity to meet with a pastor and have breakfast with him. And he said, listen, he became a pastor of this church about 6 years ago. And when he came to find out, he came to the church, he had such a challenging time because there's so many people in the church who are holding more to the church constitution and bylaws than they are the Bible. And sometimes we communicate rules and regulations instead of communicating the love of Christ. And so this morning, we're going to start about talking about being good news people, representing Christ to the world. Last week, Dave talked about the good news for the world, but we're the ones who are supposed to be the bearers of the good news, and we got to make sure that if they're going to get the good news, we got to represent it right. I like Pastor Michael Todd always says, representing Christ. We represent, we're representing, but we must represent him, because I believe our brand, Pastor James Marshall talked about our brand. Sometimes our brand has been kind of thrown off because we talking about everything other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so this morning, we're going to talk about being good news people and what that looks like and why it is so necessary. Let me talk to you about some of the numbers. There are over 7 billion people in the world, and 2.5 billion people claim to be Christians. And there are 4.8 billion people who still need to hear the gospel. There are over 6,000 unreached people groups in the world. 2.7 billion people have never heard the name Jesus. We got a lot of work to do. And we don't have time to get stuck talking about political agendas and all of that. We need to get to the truth of the gospel, because that supersedes all of it. And I'm here to tell you that you'll be surprised how many people in your sphere of influence. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 21 this morning. But how many people in your sphere of influence have never been impacted with the truth of the gospel? I was reading a research study by Barna Research that said 4% of unchurched adults were invited to attend church with a friend and actually went. Only 4% were invited and actually went. 23% were invited but declined. But guess what? 73% were never invited. 73% of unchurched adults were never even invited to church. And y'all, we're talking about evangelizing and reaching people. One of the easiest ways to evangelize and share the good news, you might not even know the Romans Road. You might not know all of it, the book by book. But all you got to do is, will you come to church with me? Because you know your pastor is going to present that gospel. But if we don't ever open our mouths and make the invitation. And my heart is that we as a church become an inviting church, where you recognize what we have is, like David said, we have good news. And when you have something good, you want as many people to hear it as you can. How many of y'all have ever gone to see a good movie? Going to eat at a good restaurant? When you come out, I'm here to tell you, where's Brother Al? Al's not here this morning. Brother Al went to go see Creed the other day. He went to go see Creed 3. If y'all know Al, Al told you how much he likes movies. A few weeks ago, Al said, look, I love movies. I go to Pike and Rose. I buy 2 tickets so nobody sits next to me. He told me, Dwayne, I didn't have to buy 2 tickets because the seat next to me was broke. I got it. I was in there. And he said, if you haven't seen Creed, you got to go see it. As soon as he got out the theater, he's calling me. Why? Because it was good. When you have, listen, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. When you have tasted of him, you ought to tell somebody about it. And sometimes you don't even have all the details. I can't even tell you all the details, but I know that I was blind, but now I see. I can't tell you. Look, be like the woman at the well. I can't even tell you all the details, but let me take you to a man who told me everything about me. If it's good to you, we got to invite y'all. When we recognize that he has saved us from sin, that we got to be giving the invitation. Luke chapter 4, verse 16 says, when Jesus came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah, the prophet, was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring what? Good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. He rolled up the scroll and handed it back to the attendant and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them. The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. He said, listen, what is he has anointed me to do what? Bring good news to the poor. Today, I'm here to tell you, if you've accepted this good news, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, he's anointed you to bring the good news. And I love where Jesus, where was Jesus? Jesus was already in his element. He was where he was comfortable. He went back to the area, listen, his old hood. He went to his boyhood home. God has placed you in a sphere of influence on your job, in your neighborhood, where you're comfortable. God is telling you, spread the good news. And a great opportunity to do that is invite somebody to church on Easter Sunday. He said, look, what does he do? He said he wants him to do what we, and he was reading from Isaiah chapter 61. He has anointed me to do what? Bring good news to the first, the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor, or the day of the year of the Lord's favor, that reference is a reference to the year of Jubilee. In the Bible, the year of Jubilee was that every 50th year, every 50th year when the children of Israel, they declared a year of Jubilee. Why? Because what they would do, they would take 7 years as a Sabbath year. They would, seven Sabbath sabbatical years. So they would take 7 years, and they, after 7 years, they would let the land lay fallow. They would just kind of let the land rest. And after seven sets of seven, that was 49. The year after that was the 50th year, which they call the year of Jubilee. What happened in the year of Jubilee? He said, I'm here to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Year of Jubilee is when what happened is God told the people, set all of the slaves free. Anybody who has a debt, forgive the debt. Anybody who sold property, they get it back. It was a way to bring, make the level, the playing field level. That was the year of Jubilee. He said, listen, and the year of Jubilee was started by the Day of Atonement. I'm going somewhere. The Day of Atonement. He said, listen, before I set everybody free, the Day of Atonement sets it off. This is the good news, that the atonement, that Jesus Christ came to set you free, atone for all of your sins, and because he's atoned for all of your sins, he will take care of everything else. The poor, the captive, the oppressed, the blind, all of those issues start with the atonement. It starts with you being set free from your sin, and Jesus can take care of every other situation. And we live in a world who have a lot of needs. See, the problem is this. I'm going to give you 3 points. I'm going to be out of your way. 3 things that I want to tell you. If we're going to be good news people, the 3 things that we got to do. Number one, we got to ask questions genuinely. You got to ask questions genuinely. What do I mean? There are people, a lot of times as good news people, we go out and just spit up Jesus on people. Jesus, this, he died for your sin, blah, blah, blah. Well, if you don't even know you got sin, if you're not even thinking about that, you're answering the wrong question. What God is calling us to do, if we're going to be good news people, we have to care enough about people to listen intently and ask genuine questions. What is it that they are seeking? What is it that you stand in need of? You have to ask questions genuinely. We are in a culture where there are some people who are dealing with emotional health. There are people who are dealing with mental health. People got financial problems. People are upset about the racial environment. People are upset about the political environment. And if we just talking Jesus, 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 they can't even hear through all that. But the way you find out is to do what? Ask questions. What God is calling us to do, if you want to really, really realistically be a witness to people, you got to find out where people really are. And sometimes as Christians, we don't really care where people are. We just know that Jesus is the answer for the world today. So I'm going to just say Jesus, but I haven't taken time to get to know who you are. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You have to ask questions genuinely. The Message Bible in Proverbs reads, Proverbs 18:15 reads like this. Wise men and women are always learning, always listening for fresh insights. Church, we have to have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ, Philippians chapter 2 tells us the mind of Christ is this. Verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. How do I find out the interests and needs of others? I must ask questions. How often do we ask questions? I know this, I'm guilty sometimes. I ask enough questions to listen so I can tell you what I want to tell you. Anybody ever been in a conversation with somebody like that? They ask a question, but they're not even really listening to your answer. They're listening for a break in the conversation for they so they can give you what they can, what they wanted to say. I know as husbands, if you've ever been guilty of this, I don't know if your wife has ever told you, you ain't even listening to what I just said. This has happened to me before. She'll ask me a question, and I've answered something because I'm either watching TV, I'm on my phone, I'm looking at sport, and I'll answer something that she asked a while ago, but I missed the question she just asked because I wasn't paying attention. And she'll look at me and say, what are you talking about? I didn't ask you that. Why? Because I'm not paying attention. That's a turnoff. What you have to do is ask questions with genuine questions, genuinely, not just ask a question so you can beat somebody over the head with your Bible, but ask a question so I can find out what's going on in your life. There are people who are hurting out here, y'all. And when you ask questions sometimes, you'll find out that, you know what, today might not be the day that I take them down to Romans Road. Today, though, you might just need somebody just to listen. There might be another question. I might need to answer a question before I even get to the scripture. There might be something that some other need that I might need to address and deal with and walk people down. Sometimes we just got this shotgun evangelism and we want to put a notch on my belt and say, I shared the gospel and this person came to Jesus, but God said, listen, he wants us to walk with them. Sometimes it's going to take a minute. The person you share with may not come today. One plants, somebody else waters. God gives the what? Increase. But you have to ask genuine questions. Be intentional on your job. God has you, whether you're an accountant, whether you're a cosmetologist, a physician, school teacher, you're not in the school system just before you to be a teacher. I love it. I don't know if Sister Joy Nutt is here, but Sister Joy will all text out, and she'll text us sometime in a group, pray for this student. And if y'all don't know, Sister Joy said, look, I don't necessarily want to be in the school system right now, but God has me here because there are students that he wants me to reach. I'm not here just teaching art. I'm here to evangelize these middle schoolers through the vehicle of art. I'm here to heal your foot problem. I'm here to heal your soul problem through the vehicle of podiatry. It was just a tool. My mother always said, nothing is wasted in God's economy. Wherever he has placed you, he's given you an opportunity to be a witness for him. But you got to care enough about people to ask the right questions and be genuine about asking the questions. People can tell when you're just really not concerned about them. They can tell. And church, that's why so many people reject the good news is because the people out front really don't care about them. The first thing that you got to do, God is calling us to do, is ask questions genuinely. Ask questions genuinely. But the second thing he's calling us to do is love people extravagantly. Love people extravagantly. Why do you love people extravagantly? Because God loves you that way. God has loved us with an extravagant love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 12 says, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. What kind of love is that? Dear friends, since God has loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. We got to love people extravagantly. And it's not when they're lovable. God loved me in spite of me. Aren't you glad about that? He said, look, he loved me so much that, look, and I didn't do anything to earn it. He loves me so much that he died for me. He died for me. He loved me so much that he stepped out of eternity into time Just think about what he talked about, the good news. The bad news is that we are all sinners. Man was separated from God because of our sin. Adam and Eve made a choice. And they chose to take themselves, to put themselves in the place of God, even though God created and designed them to be in relationship with him forever. How much does he love you? Even though we made a bad choice, he said, I'm still going to make it right. He loves us extravagantly. Who in the world does this? Steps out of heaven to come to a sin-cursed earth just so he can get us back. If God loves me that way, how much more should I love somebody else? And see, that's what the world is looking for. Nobody's loving people like that. Can I be honest? I don't love people like that usually. You get on my nerves. I mean, I could be done with you. Anybody? Am I by myself? It's hard. People are hard to love. I know I can be difficult. Anybody else? I mean, anybody else sitting next to somebody who can be difficult? Amen. But God says, listen, it's an extravagant love. Look at this extravagant love. Let me tell you about God's love. God's love is complete. It's a complete love. Ephesians chapter 3, 17 and 19 tells us how complete his love. Paul said, I pray that you being rooted and established in love may have power together with all Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ. It's wide, it's long, it's deep. And know that his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be fulfilled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Look at the four dimensions of his love. His love is what? It's wide. What does that mean? It means that it reaches the whole world and beyond. Y'all know the song you learned when a little kid? He's got the whole world in his hands. That's how wide his love is. It doesn't matter where you are. You said you cannot get away from the extent of his love. His love is all-encompassing. It crosses all racial boundaries, all nations, all socioeconomic groups. His love is wide. Doesn't matter where you are. His love can reach you. It goes everywhere that men go. That's how wide is his love. But no, they said not only his width, but the length of his love. The length of Christ's love stretches throughout all time and eternity. He loves me and he loves Moses. He loves Abraham. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And his love is long. It doesn't change. It's the same that, listen, his love for me is the same as it was for Moses. Same as it was for David. He's got that love. His love is wide and it's long. And not only that, but it's high. Understand the height of his love. The love of Christ raises you to the heights of heaven. And then finally, the depth of his love, the depth of God's love reaches down to the depths of this depraved and sinful world. No matter where you go, his love will reach you. His love is complete, but his not only is complete, his love is sacrificial. This is an extravagant love that we've been a recipient of. His love is sacrificial. God demonstrated his love in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's a sacrificial love. He's got a complete love. He's got a sacrificial love, but he's also got a powerful love. Romans says, what can separate us from the love of Christ? Death can't separate you. Life can't separate you. Angels, demons, your fears of today, your worries about tomorrow, nothing. It's a powerful love. It's an unstoppable love. That's the love I've been a recipient of. Oh, my God. And if I've been a recipient of that love, how can I not share it with somebody else? How can I not be long-suffering with somebody who seems a little bit irritated? God, because you love me and all of my mess. And you keep loving me. That's the thing about it. He never stops loving me. Listen, this is an aside for somebody who may have been feeling like you're a little bit outside of God's love. I'm here to tell you, his love, you can't do enough wrong for him to stop loving you. Oh, that'll make you shout right there. You can't mess up enough for him to stop loving you. His love continues to pursue you. For if you're listening to me in here or at home and you're feeling unloved, I'm here to tell you his arms are open wide. The story of the prodigal son, that son went way far and he intentionally disobeyed his father, but it said the father looked for him every single day. And when he came back, the father didn't say, I told you so. The father didn't say, you shouldn't have never done it. He opened his arms and said, my one son who was lost is now found. Let's kill the fatted calf and have a party for him. That's the kind of God we serve. No matter how far you've gone, you never can go far enough from the reach of his love. It's a complete love. It's a sacrificial love. It's a powerful love. And if he's loved me like that, God is telling us to ask questions genuinely and then love on people extravagantly. It's by his loving kindness that he drew us. Sometimes we're trying to talk people into heaven. Just love them in. Love them in. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. See, the love holds it all together. The great commandment, loving God and loving others, galvanizes our involvement in the Great Commission. Today, can we just be a place that's a loving place? And you know, sometimes in church, the reason why it's so challenging for us to seem so loving, loving people extravagantly, because God's going to bring all kinds of people, people who got all kinds of stuff in their lives, and a lot of times, sometimes, Lord, if I act too loving, then they're gonna think I'm accepting of their mess. And so, you ain't the Holy Ghost. Let him fix all that. I love you in spite of your mess, just like how God loves me. Ask questions genuinely. Love people extravagantly. And the last one is tied to it. Loving them extravagantly means what? Welcoming them unconditionally. Welcoming them unconditionally. You don't have to get it right before you come in. You don't have to get it right before you come in, because if you could get it right, you wouldn't need to come in. Luke chapter 15, verse 1 and 2 said, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes who? Sinners and eats with them. Why? Because he saw the big picture. We're to be a welcoming place. The church should be a place where people of all, listen, wherever you are in the life's journey, you should feel welcome here. I've heard so many people say, I can't come to church, I ain't got nothing to wear. Anybody heard that? Amen. Let's remove that obstacle. I want to get to church because I've heard some people say, I don't want to be a hypocrite. Guess what? I told y'all a few weeks ago, we are all here. You're welcome because we're all in the same boat together. No matter where you go, no matter, I don't care how many piercings, tattoos, what you look like, what you dress like, welcoming in. We ought to be a place. Listen, on Easter Sunday, you invite somebody who's never been to church before, they shouldn't even feel like somebody looking at them strange. No matter what they're wearing. I never forget when this church started. Pastor Mac told me this story. Y'all know this church started as a Bible study. 1749 Verbena Street, Northwest. It started as a Bible study. Pastor Mac and Sister Dolores having this Bible study in their basement. I was 4 or 5 years old, and people were coming. People were getting saved, and they were a member of a traditional church here in the DMV. And he said, look, these people getting saved, I'm going to take them to church with me. And there's some women with them coming to church. And the particular church we belonged to at the time was a holiness church. And then that church, women didn't wear pants. These people just got saved. Pastor Mac takes them to church. And they said, uh-uh, they can't come in here. They can't wear the pants. Pastor Mac said, you know what? It's time to do something different. Why? We took them to the good news people at the front. Said, we will not welcome you here because you got pants on. What are we talking about? Listen, if Jesus was concerned about pants, let him do that. That's not my job to fix you wearing pants. My job is to take you to Jesus, But for somebody to love you like Jesus, lead you to Jesus, and leave you with Jesus. That's it. So we got to be welcome people unconditionally, no matter where they are. Look, I love it. Henry Nouwen said this: hospitality is not to change people, but to offer them space where change can take place. Whew. Not change people, but offer them space where change can take place. You just got to put them in the right environment. Anybody like the garden in here? Anybody got a green thumb? Brother CC, have you ever grown a plant before? Yeah, anybody in here with a green thumb have any pulled the plant and made the plant grow? No. What, you put the seed in the ground. You create an environment that is conducive for growth. You water it, and what happens? Growth happens. What hospitality is we want to create an environment where growth and change and transformation can occur. We don't have to change you. What God has shown me and has freed me as a pastor, as a Christian, I feel so free that I don't have to worry about nobody changing. That ain't my job. Church, it ain't our job. For too long, we've been trying to be the Holy Spirit and change people. And people walking oppressed. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do the other thing. What I know is I take you to the one who can change you. And let him do all that. Let me create the environment. Let me keep speaking truth. And let God change you. And when you're not changed, I ain't going to love you no different. Because there was a time, like the scripture says, but such were some of you. There was a time when I didn't have my stuff together. You're in process. Me, listen, does that mean I'm accepting and condoning what you're doing? No, I still speak the truth in love, but I'm going to let God bring the change in you. We got to welcome people unconditionally and let God do the work. Welcoming is the act of showing unconditional acceptance to people without any expectations of reciprocation, reflecting Christ's love and acceptance. Welcoming people, there's three things you got to pay attention to, church. We're talking about Easter is coming up. We want to be a place where it's welcoming. We want to invite. We want to encourage you to invite. We want to see I don't want to see the backs of any chairs on Easter Sunday. That would be awesome. Amen? I want every chair to have a person in it. That would be an awesome thing. But one thing, what you got to do, put the screen. When you're going to be a place, we got to pay close attention to your face, your space, and your place. Pay close attention to your face, your space, and your place. What do I mean? Listen, your face, your physical, listen, nonverbal communication is a lot. Pay close attention to your face. Welcoming starts with your facial expression, even with your mask on. Amen. When people come in, no matter where they're going to come from, all places, you should be like, whoa, what in the world is that? Your facial expression. How many of you have had somebody look at you crazy and then they say something nice, but their eyes say something completely different? And you're like, I ain't going back in there. It's your face. Listen, when we loving people and welcome them unconditional, pay attention to your face. Your facial expression is number one. Then your space, that's the non-physical environment. The non-physical environment. What is that? What is that? Listen, the atmosphere of worship, upbeat. Not only that, is it too hot? Is it too cold? The non-physical environment, the attitude of people when people are received, not just what you say, not just your physical face, but also just the environment in here. We want to have a place that is upbeat. We want to be known for vibrant worship. Where people are kind. Listen, I said this all the time. Some of y'all, I put this on Instagram a while ago. Look, Tracy and I were talking about this at home. And y'all remember the show Cheers? So I want to be a Cheers church. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. Y'all know the song. And they're always glad you came. You want to be where people can see. Our troubles are all the same. You want to go where everybody knows your name. I said, that's the kind of church I want to be. Cheers. That's the non-physical environment, except we may not serve you alcohol. Not even on Communion Sunday, amen. But you want to be where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came. That's the non-physical environment. Man, they're always welcoming of me. They didn't even know me that good. That's why I love Sister Pat. Sister Pat and Sister, there's so many of y'all. Sister Pat, Sister Brown, so many of you. Oh, let me go speak to such and such. I see somebody I've never seen before. I heard one pastor say they have specific people in their church. Their whole ministry is to find people they've never seen before and just give them a hug. It's the non-physical environment. Pay attention to your face, your space, and then your place. The place, that goes for me as a leader and those of us in leadership here. Again, I talked about the heat. Stuff can't be ripped up and falling over and torn down and are not taken care of. Take care of the place. Not just us as members of this church. This is your church too. We need to take care of this building. Right? Take care of the place. I'm here to tell you, the statistics tell you that people make a decision whether they're going to come back to your church in 7 minutes before they've even heard a word or a song. And it's a subconscious decision. It has nothing to do with what anybody did. So a lot of it is the physical environment. From the time they come on the parking lot, they got 7 minutes. If there's a whole lot, if stuff is disheveled, if they don't even know what it is, it's like, these nice people, but it looked like they weren't expecting me. As a church, and this is all of you who belong here, you come here, we just say, look, I'm expecting somebody because we're expecting God to move. I'm expecting God to move. So when you invite somebody, God, I expect them to move. So what does that mean? I'm going to be here early. Pastor Max said, amen. Or on time. I'm going to get here and I'm going to be, because when I come to church, a lot of times we come to church, and I'm going to say this for the word. This is why so many people have had a harder time coming back to church, because of a Christian voyeurism. See, we see the we're disconnected. Coming to church is really just about me. It's been like, I come, I get my word from me for the week, and we have disconnected that you being a part of a body is about the Great Commission. You're here not just for you, but you're here for somebody else. You coming to the building, it's not, you coming and being a part of a church group or a small group, it's not just about you, but your presence sometimes, your smile sometimes can encourage somebody, and you'll never touch a pulpit. That's why your presence is needed. Pay attention to your face, to your space, and to the place. And when we see things in the physical environment that need to get fixed, we need to make sure that we do what's necessary. So it's an environment, not just for the building's sake, because the big deal, the Great Commission is our mission. The whole purpose is so that people could come to the kingdom. Amen? God, church, one of the things God has put on my heart, just to be a simple church. Simple. Somebody say simple. You know, you could do a whole lot of stuff, but the whole point is, why are we here? We're here to see people brought to the kingdom. And just keep it simple. Keep it simple. Proclaim the truth. Be a place where people come and hear the truth. When they respond to the truth, then equip them to grow so that they can go back and get somebody else to bring them to hear the truth. Isn't that simple? And just keep the cycle going. But if we're going to be that kind of place, what do we have to do? We have to ask questions. How? Genuinely. We have to love people extravagantly, and then we must welcome them unconditionally, because that's what God did for us. That's what he did for us. Amen? Listen, as I said, I stepped away from practice, and when I was in practice, the people out front set the atmosphere. Church, you know you are the people out front. He said, now he's given to us the message of reconciliation. It is as though he is making his appeal through us. Yes. And if we're going to be out front, we got to represent him well. Care about people. Love them with the love of Christ. And welcome them extravagantly no matter where they are. And let God bring the change in their life. Amen? Can we stand together this morning? Can we stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed. We are to be bearers of the good news. And what is the good news? Brother David told it to us last week. The good news is that God loves you and has a plan for your life. The good news, first of all, before I tell you the good news again, we got to start with the bad news. The bad news is that we are all sinners separated from God. Sin is anything that I act, say, or do that is against God and His Word. And the Bible says we're born sinners. We all have fallen short of God's glory. We've all fallen short of His standard. And that the wages of sin, the payment for our sin, is to be eternally separated from God in a place called hell. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the bad news is that we are separated from God from our sins, but the good news is that God made a way to get you back right with Him. He sent His Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you. He was buried and He rose again to make you right with God. And today, if you want to be in right relationship with God, all you have to do is A, admit to God that you're a sinner. B, believe that He sent His Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you, that He was buried and that He rose again. And C, choose Him to be your Savior and Lord. If you've never made that decision or you're not certain where you stand in your relationship with God, I offer Christ to you today. I want to give you an opportunity to invite Christ into your life to save you from your sins so that you might have eternal life. I'm going to pray a very simple prayer of invitation. And if you'd like to invite Christ into your life today to forgive you of all of your sins, I want you to silently repeat this after me. This is for you at home and for you in the building. Just say this to the Lord, silently to Him. Say, "Dear God, thank You for loving me just like I am. I admit that I'm a sinner separated from You. I believe that You sent Your Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for me. I believe that He was buried and that He rose again. Today, I choose to invite Jesus Christ into my life to save me from every one of my sins and to make me who He wants me to be. Thank You, Lord, for saving me in Jesus' name." If you're here today and you prayed that prayer and you really meant it from the bottom of your heart, I want you to do something bold for me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you prayed that prayer and you're in the building, I want you to raise your hand. Let me know about it. Praise the Lord. I see that hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it from the bottom of your heart, raise your hand. Let me see you. We want to pray with you. Amen. I see you. I see you. We want to pray with you. We're going to have somebody pray with you today. Amen. Well, could you do me this? I want you to come boldly. I want you to come right here. I want someone to talk with you. Amen. 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 Bless the Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This is you and God. This is you and God. You and God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Congratulations. You see that young lady? Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Anyone else? Amen. If you're here and you said, "Look, I'm nervous. I prayed it, but man, I'm scared to go up front." You might be at home and look, I can't see you. This is what I want you to do. I want you to put this on the screen. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to text the word new. No, text the word next. Text the word next to 301-804-2520. It's right on the screen. Text the word next to 301-804-2520. Once again, text the word next to 301-804-2520. And what you're going to do, you're going to get a video from me, welcome you to the family, and then we're going to send you something over the next 30 days to help you grow in your relationship with Christ. Amen? Amen? Bless the Lord. Finally, is for those of us who are here, say, "Listen, I am a follower of Christ. And I got convicted." That statistic that said, listen, 73% of people have never invited folks to church. And you say, "Pastor, I want to commit to bringing a guest with me on either these Sundays up to Easter or on Easter Sunday. I want to commit to this week inviting somebody to church from between now and Easter. I'm going to commit to that." If that's you, won't you raise your hand and say, "Pastor, I want to commit to sharing the Great Commission by inviting so that I can ask genuine questions, welcome people unconditionally, love on them extravagantly like Jesus loved me." Amen. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I pray for everyone whose hands raised, for those who may not even have raised their hands, but Lord, we have a heart to say we want to see our loved ones, our friends, one to the kingdom. God, give us the boldness. to share the good news. Give us the boldness to invite and help us, God, to get out of your way, to just love people, just to welcome people and let you do the saving and transforming work. We praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.